It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Again, my name is Damon. This is my wife, my beautiful wife, Mrs. Bratton Jamie. She's actually our youth pastor at New Hope Community Church. We are both under the leadership of Pastor Rick Thornhill. He's preached here a few times, right? He always says this is like his second church home. And it's just an honor to know your pastor, to know your pastor's wife. We've again hung out with them a few times at different Foursquare events. And they've preached, his Pastor Sam has actually preached at our church quite a few times. My wife was slain in the spirit one day when he prophesied over her, and she hit the ground. And she's never been the same since. So God is very good, and I'm just so thankful for what he is going to do today through our fellowship. Amen. But even though, you know, we come from a sister church, we're all families in Christ. Amen. I am amongst family. But before I get started, let's just pray over this message. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word, Lord. I pray that the Spirit would just fill me with his power, his anointing, Lord. I pray that you take everything out of my flesh right now, Lord, that is not of your kingdom, Lord. I pray for ears and hearts to be receptive to your word, Lord. And right now, we just cancel any assignments of the Satan right now. He has no place in here right now, Lord. And we kick him out under the authority and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray that every soul is blessed right now today, Lord. I pray that you speak to each and every person's circumstances here today, Lord, whatever they may be facing, whatever they may be challenging in their life right now, dear Lord, that you speak to them through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. So right now, Lord, I just pray for your power through the Holy Spirit. I pray for boldness through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. And all God's people said, amen. Now, my wife can testify to this. If we go back maybe about 15 years, one of my favorite shows that we loved to watch as a family was the show The Fear Factor. Remember that show we used to watch? Does anybody raise your hand if you remember that show, The Fear Factor? It was gross. But the name of it, because people had to actually face their fears, right? You would have couples, you would have, you know, single guys, single girls going against each other. And there was always like three different types of events that they would have to face their fear, and they would win this $50,000 prize. You know, I always said some of the things I may be able to accomplish to win us that $50,000, but there were some things that I probably couldn't do, no matter how much money you paid me to do, right? Amen? If you go to our next slide. This is some of the stuff that they had to do on that show. Now, this guy got his head stuck in a cage full of snakes. Could anybody in here accomplish that? Could you face your fear? I got one brother over here can face his fear. Amen. But it was a unique show because it just showed how people were able to persevere and overcome their fear. Now, if we go to the next slide. I wanted my daughter to be here today, but she wasn't here. But my daughter is actually in the second from the left, and they're actually holding a huge snake. Back in Ambridge, we had this thing called Nationality Days where we had all these different food booths and different rides, and there was this guy who had reptiles. And the adult is actually my sister-in-law, my wife's sister. And see, what she did is she peer pressured my daughter and her cousins into holding this huge snake. Peer pressure. So again, part of my message today is titled Facing Our Fear, but Overcoming Peer Pressure. Has anyone in here ever experienced peer pressure? We have. Still today, as grown adults, a lot of us face peer pressure. But if we were to define the word fear in the dictionary, It says fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, or it's likely to cause you pain, or it's a threat to you. It's also it means to be afraid of someone or something that is likely dangerous or painful or threatening to yourself. But if we were to define the fear of man, or to define what peer pressure actually is, it is the fear of man is when you think you need something to live, if you need something to be happy or be fulfilled, but you worry, you're afraid that you may not get it. See, if you need comfort, you'll fear physical pain. If you need approval from others, you will always fear being criticized. If you need love, you'll fear rejection. If you need to feel attractive, you may be fear of becoming overweight, or your fear that you're not pretty enough. I'm going to ask yourself, guys, a question. Are you overcommitted? Is it hard for you to say no when wisdom tells you you should? Is self-esteem a critical concern for you? Does your life revolve around what other people think or what other people say? See, you fear man when you are unwilling to confess sin to others for accountability. Maybe you're married and you have a spouse and you have a fear of sharing something with your spouse because you fear how she may receive that information. Maybe you have a fear or a dark secret that you're fearful to share with your pastor today. We all have trusted friends. Maybe you have a trusted friend who you feel ashamed that you're in fear because if I share this with them, they'll never look at me the same again. Are you always second-guessing yourself? Do you easily get embarrassed? Do you ever tell a lie? Has anyone told a little white lie? Because lying and other forms of living in the dark are usually ways to make ourselves look better before other people. Amen? Let's turn to our Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Galatians, chapter 2. And we can go to our next slide. And today I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And I'm going to read a few verses through this real quick. And it says, chapter 2, verse 11. When you're there, say amen. Word of God reads, "But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised." It's kind of like this. If we're here in church and we're all Gentiles in here and I'm hanging out and I'm eating with the Gentiles, there's a certain look that the Gentiles had. They didn't have the colorful hats or the robes. They were more looked more like you and me. The dirty sandals, the regular people who weren't the Judaizers. But it says, "But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore." It says, "He was afraid." Somebody say afraid. "He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision." Verse 13 says, "As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy." And Paul says, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front. He said it in front of all the others. It's like being, if you have a speaker in there and he's saying things that are outside of God's word or outside of God's will, your pastor is to confront me in front of everybody that, hey, that word is not of God, or that word is leading people astray. You see, Paul had to confront him to his face because it was leading people astray. It says, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? He says, you and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ. Not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Did you hear that last part? No one will be made right by just obeying the law. And to understand the law, I'll give you an example. I like to work out. Maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I'll go back. Me and Jamie's two brothers was working out. So we're bench pressing and we got all this weight on. And I think I had like 300 pounds on. I'm coming down and actually all I hear is crack, crack, crack. My chest actually ripped and cracked. So the next day I remember waking up and my arm was completely black from the blood that had drained down to my arm. So now, okay, it's time to go see a doctor. So they didn't know exactly what was all messed up in there. So they said, we got to put you in an MRI machine. Has anyone had to ever go into an MRI machine? Right? So they put you in this machine, and what's it do? It sees all the things within your body, right? The things the doctors can't see with the physical eye. See, the MRI machine is designed to tell you what's wrong so the doctors can actually fix you, right? But the MRI machine can't fix you. Only the doctors can. So it tells you that you need something else to actually fix you. See, that is what the law did for the Jews. It diagnosed that, hey, you have a problem, but you need a savior to actually come fix you. That's what the law did. It just pointed to them that they needed a savior. And the law could only diagnose the problem that they had within themselves. And for us today, we need people in our life who are willing to tell us the truth. Because all of us in here, we got some blind spots that we can't see around us sometimes. And I'm here today to tell you to find some people who will tell you the truth. And see, when they tell you this truth, they have to be able to make you mad. Because if they don't make you mad, it is not real. Go back 15, 20 years ago, me and my wife were going through a rocky time. We were separated. I was living at one house, she was living at another house. 95% of it was my fault. But I had good friends and good people who were willing to come knock on my door and tell me the truth that sometimes I didn't want to hear. And see, in our walk, in our life, we always need people who are willing to go out of our way and to tell us the truth. And you may get offended. You may get mad. But see, in life, we cannot always surround ourselves with yes people. Because you will never be all that God has called you to be if you completely surround yourself with yes people. Because the last thing we need is for people to always telling us what we want to hear. So many of us got itchy ears. And most folks, they tell you what you want to hear because they want to stay connected to you for something or for some reason. But I'm here to tell you that you need people in your life who are willing to challenge you. You need people who are willing to confront you. Because if you truly love me, you would tell me the truth. And it's very important that we need to watch out for people who would love for you to be something different than what you are in order to make themselves feel better. Don't allow anyone to minimize what God has placed in you for any reason. When you were in your mother's womb, God created you. He put gifts in you that you would use one day in a certain way. You have everything in you that God has called you to do to walk forth in your destiny. Everything you are gifted with is in you right now from the very beginning of time. You are a certain way for a certain reason. We are not called to be a clone. We are not called to follow the crowd. We are called to be original. We are called to be determined. We are called to be discerning. We are called to be committed. And we are called to be intentional about saving the souls that God has placed in each and every one of your lives. I got an assignment. You got an assignment. And it is time for us to not get distracted. It is time for us to not be moved. It is time for us to not be shaken. And we don't fear what people say about us. Because like I said, God, he has something for you to do. He got something for you to do. He got something for me to do. And see, our job is not to get trapped in the things of this world. Just like Pastor Sam said in the beginning, this world is a fallen world. It is so easy to get sidetracked into everything else and all the noise that is going around in our culture today. Proverbs 29:25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap. Some verses say it's a snare, but trusting the Lord means safety. You see, the thing is, when you get caught in this trap by this spirit, when you get caught in this trap, you know what happens? The spirit speaks to you. Because fear, it's a prophetic spirit. It is a prophesizing spirit, but not from the Lord. But see, this what this spirit is telling you is, it tells you what your future is going to look like. See, it tells you, you can never be good enough. It tells you, you're too old. Or God can never use you because of your past. But that spirit is here today telling you a lie that we cannot receive. You see, this spirit, it wants you bound to people. It's the worst kind of bondage because you can't be yourself. You can't be yourself when you're bound to people and their opinions. Has anyone ever done the three-legged race? Heard of the three-legged race? Like church picnics, work functions, you know, where they get you. Pretend me and my wife were tied up. You know, her leg's tied to my leg, right? And we're tied together and we got to race other couples who are, you know, tied together. You're trying to race and win. You know, it's uncomfortable. You can't be yourself. See, that is the same picture of the fear of man. So you're bound to man and you can't even be yourself. You can't function as a person you were called to be, because you're tied to the opinions of other people. You see, the Bible says this fear is a spirit. But remember, what kind of spirit has God given us? 2 Timothy 1:7 says what? God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what God has given you. But the enemy wants you to think otherwise. But see, God would never give you a spirit of fear. And if fear is driving you, if fear is motivating you, if it is stopping you and limiting you from your calling in your life, if it is stopping you from your walk with God, if it's stopping you from Him, from you walking and following His will and His purpose, it is not from Him. It is a spirit from the enemy, from the pits of hell that we cannot receive. Because you see, when this spirit of fear comes in your life in any way, it motivates our decisions. It can motivate how we make choices. Because fear is truly a powerful force. People have made more decisions and choices based on fear than having faith and believing and trusting in God. And that is sad. But I'm here today to tell you that God knows your struggle. He sees your pain. He cares about the fear you are facing today. And He is there. Because listen, peace, true peace, doesn't mean that you will not have problems. But peace means that your problems will not have you. Ask your neighbor, do they got faith? Ask your neighbor, do they got some faith? Ask your other neighbor, do you got some faith? Got some faith? Because Hebrews 11:1 says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Because it's truly not faith if you can see it. People always want to see it and grab it. But see, true faith is believing and trusting in God who can do the impossible. That is believing in faith when you cannot see it, but you believe He's going to make it happen. Fear is, I don't see it, but I'm afraid it's going to turn out a certain way that the enemy's placing in you. But you see, faith, it involves your feet. It involves taking a step that you may can't see. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our emotions. It's about trusting and believing and walking in faith. But see, when you put fear at the front, fear is you stepping back. Fear is you stepping away. Fear is when you can't be bold for stand up for your faith. Fear will paralyze you from speaking up when God has called you to speak up. But see, we as a church, we have to be a church who is unashamed. Are you unashamed? Because we have the Holy Spirit's power in us. And when we walk and we know and we trust, we know we got the Spirit and God has got our backs, we don't let up. We don't back down, and we always speak the truth in love. Because our past is redeemed, our present makes sense today, and our future is secure. Somebody better say amen. It's all by faith, and we cannot be a church that allows fear to drive us. Jesus says, this is His words, Luke 12:8-9. I tell you the truth, he says. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. But anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before God's angels. Are you standing up for Christ? Not just on Sundays. See, God don't need no more CIA Christians. There's a lot of CIA Christians undercover. You know, we know the CIA. We don't, if you was in the CIA, I wouldn't even know it. Because you're undercover. And we got some undercover Christians walking around who praise the Lord on Sunday, but Monday through Friday through Saturday, you could never tell. You see, we got to be soldiers for Christ. Just like the Army, they put on that uniform. When you see the young kids take their pictures in their Marine suits, they are proud to wear that uniform. We need to be proud of who we represent. Come on. If they were kicking this door today and they said, all of you are being charged as being Christians, would you be arrested? Would you be accused of being a soldier for the Lord today? Come on. You see, God, he not only wants you to do the right thing, but God wants you to do the right thing at the right time. And when fear comes up, you got to cast it down. You got to renounce it. Because remember, God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And see, that's why we got to be careful what we put in our bodies, what we put in our mind, because there are some things that we're putting in our bodies cannot allow us to have a sound mind. We have to be careful what we put into our mind. That's why addictions are so powerful in our world today, because people are addicted, cannot have a sound mind. But God has called us. He has given us a sound mind. And if we're truly going to face our fears, we need to have a sound mind. And we can't get caught up and worried about what other people think, what other people are going to say who are not believers. We got to stop worrying about their opinions. We got to stop worrying about if we're going to make the wrong choice or do the wrong thing that is outside of the will of God. But how do we overcome this? How do we apply and overcome the fear, this fear? First thing we need to do, we need to acknowledge that you do have fear in your life. You need to confess it as sin. Instead of asking, how can I feel better about myself and not be controlled by other people's opinions? Why am I so concerned about my self-esteem and how I can think more on Christ and on the gospel? Second, we need to begin to grow in the fear of the Lord. Psalms 34:11 says, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The Bible also says the beginning of knowledge is what? The fear of God. See, we learn the fear of the Lord by being in his word. We learn by coming to church, by coming to Bible study, by coming to men's group, by fellowshipping with other believers and hanging out with other people who have fear of the Lord. See, God must be bigger to you than people are. Third, we need to delight in the gospel. Rejoice that God has covered our sins and we are covered by the blood of Christ. And we are to never walk in shame. Never. When Jesus was here, he did not live a life to please men. He went to the cross because of his love for us. not because of the fear of man. You know, we've seen the movie, we've seen the passion, we've heard the stories on how they nailed his hands to the cross. But see, it wasn't the nails that kept him hung on that cross. It was his love for you and me that kept him nailed to that cross. That's what kept him hung. See, we need to ask ourselves, what are we afraid of? What man can put so much fear in you that you can't even think straight? We shouldn't be fearful of any man or any person on this earth. Jesus said, and do not fear those who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who we need to fear. Amen. Let's finish our rest of our scripture verse in chapter 2. We're going to start off on 17. You got up on her. Okay, amen. The word of God says, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I have already torn down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live for God. Verse 20, you see verse 20, it's underlined. One of my favorites in this chapter. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, there was no need for Christ to die. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's powerful. That's me. That's me and you. This is before we accepted Christ. This is us just walking as lost as sinners. But see, in life, somebody what? Shares the gospel with us. Shares the gospel message. We confess it with our hearts. We confess it with our mouths. Believe in our hearts that Christ came and died. So then Jesus comes, and he comes inside of you and me. So now I got Jesus inside me, which means then I'm inside Jesus. Christ is in me. I'm in Christ. Who's Christ then? God. So now Christ is in God, right? So now when you're facing the fear, when you are facing the struggle, you are covered because see, when somebody's coming after you, they got to go through who first? And then when they go through God, who they got to go through? Jesus to get to me. So you are completely covered. So why should you be fearful of any man? We are in Christ. Christ is in God. God is in Christ. We are in all of them. So we're completely covered by the blood of Jesus. Your heavenly Father has you. Christ is in me. I'm in God. God is in Christ. We're all wrapped together. So why are we fearful? Why are we truly fearful? So now that we got God and Jesus, who else we get? The Holy Spirit, right? So now we got the Holy Spirit too. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He's starting this next week. You guys better be here to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it says you will receive power. Does anybody want power in here? I don't hear you. Does anybody want power in here? Because the Holy Spirit will raise up a faith in you to overcome any fear of man, any fear of any situation you may be facing today. The Holy Spirit will enable you to overcome that fear. And when you are filled with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, you see God, he hears you, and God will move for you. And see, we must be spirit-driven people, not fear-driven people. Spirit-driven, not fear-driven. Because when a church is truly driven by the Spirit of God, it is where discouraged people cheer up. It is where dishonest people fess up. It is where mean people sweeten up. It is where closed people open up. It is where gossiping people shut up. It is where divisive people make up. It is where sleeping people wake up. It is where the lukewarm church gets fired up. And falling people get back up. And Christ, our Savior, gets lifted up. He gets lifted up. You see, God wants me. He wants you. All of us in here. He wants a passionate and love on fire relationship with every single one of you in here today. He wants to raise up your hearts. He wants to stir your hearts. He wants you to be revived on fire. And see, then he's going to use you. And see, God, he doesn't send light into light. He sends light into dark places. He sends light into fearful places. Are you ready, church? Are you ready to be uncomfortable for the kingdom of God? Are you ready to raise up and preach the gospel message? Just like that song we sang. When you preach the gospel, you preach it with all your heart, you preach it with all your soul, and you preach it with all your mind. And if you want revival in this church, if you want results in this church, we use the gospel. We use the gospel. That's all we need is the gospel. And it works because of how it's made up. It works because of its chemistry. Let me break this down for you. The author of the gospel is God. The access of the gospel is the cross. The activator of the gospel is the blood. The authority of the gospel is the name of Jesus. The applicator of the gospel is the Holy Spirit in us. The atmosphere of the gospel is love. The announcer of the gospel is you and me. And the attraction, the main attraction is who? Jesus Christ. Our job is to not have fear. It is to walk in faith and share the gospel message for this lost world. You guys got some seats available. And our job is to go out. It ain't just your pastor's job. It is your job to bring the people to share the word of Christ with them. You guys can fill this church up 10 times. If every single one of you would not have fear, walk in faith, and go out and share the gospel message. There are people who need to know the love of Christ. People need to know what he has done for us. People need to know your testimony. People need to know your story. What led you to Christ? How you overcame? Because we can only do the impossible through faith in Christ. People need to know how we won, how we have victory. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let man stop you. I don't care how old you are, if you are breathing, you have life. God has a calling and he has a destiny for every single person in here. If you are still breathing, you have a calling on your life. You have an assignment on your life. And God wants to use you. But see, we get so distracted with everything outside of God, outside in this world. We get distracted. The enemy is trying to trip you up. He's trying to trip me up. But it is time to walk in faith, believe, and trust. And don't let no fear stop you. Are you ready, church? I can't hear you. Are you ready, church? Man, it is time for the church to wake up. Because we are in the last days. And like you said, there's going to be a great revival, a moving of God on this country. And God is going to use us. He's going to put you in places for you to work, for you to bring glory to his name. It is time to stand up. It is time to believe that you can be used. Don't let yesterday stop you. Concentrate on your future. Because like that scripture says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will use you today so that you can affect forever.